could stand. I'm thankful that we have a God that is bigger than anything that you could ever face in life. Amen. It don't matter what kind of situation you're dealing with, you have a God that is bigger than that. You really do. You have a God bigger than that. And I'm thankful for that this morning. We're going to be turning to John chapter number 16. And again, we're going to pray here in a minute. When we do, let's pray that God will touch our pastor this morning, this evening. He preached last night as well. And he flew out yesterday morning, preached last night. He'll preach two more times. Again, one today and tonight, and then he will, I think, fly home either tomorrow or Tuesday. So just pray that God will be with them. And they're busy people. Sister Chapman went to ladies' conference, drove home Friday night, got home about 2 a.m., flew out about 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning. So just, they're busy. Pray that God will give them strength, give them rest, and help them as they minister to others. And thank you for sharing them. I mean that, church. Thank you for sharing them. I don't take what is about to happen this morning lightly. I appreciate the privilege and honor to stand behind this desk this morning. And Pastor kind of almost threw a ringer in what I was feeling. God began to deal with me last week, probably last Saturday, about what I was to preach. And he said Thursday night that he felt like what he had from God was a word in due season. And I will say that I feel like what I have this morning is a word in due season. And it's falling in the same vein as what he preached on Thursday night. And I already had what God told me to preach. So if you're kind of getting a little bit of a double portion of that, just know God's trying to talk to you and let you know something. Amen. And so I feel very strongly in the Holy Ghost what I'm about to preach, that somebody here today is going to get something from God. Amen. They're going to get what they need in the Holy Ghost. And just pray for the interpreters that I'll slow down or they can keep up, one of the two, because we've got one interpreting sign language, we've got one interpreting in Spanish, and I pray that they'll just, I will either slow down, because I know that I can kind of get going, or God will just help them with that. Amen. John chapter number 16, verse number 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, this is Jesus, God in the flesh talking here, that in me ye might have peace. Woo, what a statement. Glad you know who holds all peace, that when you get to go to God, you find peace that passes all understanding. And then he goes on, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Or if we can say it, trials, circumstances, things in life that happen, they're going to come and hit you. You're going to have them. But be of good cheer. Don't let it get you down and out. Don't let it put you down. Don't let it get you to the ground. Don't let it put you flat on your back. Because this reason, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Jesus was saying that because we'll get to it here in a minute, but the fact that the power that he had, the same spirit that he had in the flesh, he was going to give it to you and to I. And if he overcame the world, what he was saying was, be of good cheer, because if I overcame it, I'm doing it so you can overcome it as well. Amen. Brother Boster, would you pray this morning?
Oh, help us, Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. These things. I'm not going to give my title just yet. But I am going to read a few more verses before we get too far so that it sets the foundation of where I want to go this morning. And I may start off a little bit slow. I don't think I'll preach too long today, only a minimum of about 45 minutes. That's what I was told by one saint one time. I needed to preach a minimum of 45 minutes. So that's where we'll hit it, a minimum there. Praise God. If y'all get mad, just we'll tell you the name later. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but I do want to lay that foundation this morning. Revelation 19, and there's a few verses I'm going to use that were used last Sunday night that God gave me for this message. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16 said, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords." If we go back to Sunday night, we talked about who Jesus was and who he is. And we know that there is no thing, nothing in this world, nothing in your life, no problem, no circumstance, no situation too large, too great that God cannot take care of. We know that he can heal the sick, he can raise the dead, he can open up blinded eyes, he can bring somebody out of a world of darkness that has a shattered and broken life and restore them. Amen. He's the King of Kings. He is. He would start off by saying that he was Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. There is nobody else beside him. If he is the Almighty, then there can be nothing else that will stand beside him, behind him, before him, above him, below him. There's nothing else. He is the Almighty. He would continue on in verse number 18 of that same chapter, and he would say that I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I love the way he puts it. Amen. It is so. That's what that means. What he was trying to say was he was confirming what he had just spoken in that word. This is what I am. This is who I am. Amen. Boom. There's no argument to be made about it. Then he would continue on and he would say that he has the keys of hell and of death. So when he died on the cross and he rose again, he took away from Satan the keys of hell and of death. I need somebody in this house today to realize that God is with you. I said, I need somebody in this house before this service is over to realize that God is on your side. You're not fighting the battle alone. You're not just trudging through life trying to make it, but God is with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? If God be for us, who can stand against? I'm telling you, when God is on your side, you've already done won the battle. You may not realize it yet, but God, if he's on your side, you've already won. As the old preachers would say, that I already wrote the back of the book and I know who the winner is. Amen. This message, at least this start of it, right where I'm about to start, is going to be a little different than how I normally preach. But it's going to set the rest of the foundation of where we're going. The time was the mid-1800s, about 1860. The place was Richmond, Virginia. In this setting, there was a dinner event that was hosted by a man named Reverend Harrison. And in this setting, he had invited several guests over for a dinner party, including one of a man named Paul Morphy. And Paul Morphy was known at that time to be an American chess master. In fact, even to this day, there are many people internationally that if they were really involved in chess would know the name of Paul Morphy. He was born in Louisiana, and by the time he had become 21, he had made money. Basically, his job was to compete in chess matches. And this man was very well known across the United States at that time, and even some in other nations during that time, very well known. And by the time he was in his mid-20s, he actually had retired from playing chess. And here he was, one of the guests at this man's home that night. And as he walked in, he saw a painting hanging on the wall. And this painting was titled Checkmate. And in this painting, there was depicted there two different people, of course, playing the chess match. I don't know how much of you know the game of chess, but the whole goal of that game is to put the king into a checkmate to the point where he cannot move without being taken out. And in this depiction, on one side of the board was one, a man, or in this setting, it was actually Satan. And he sat there across the table from one, we don't know the name of the young man, but he was there playing a game of chess against Satan. And there Satan sat on the other side, where on that chess board looked like it was ominous and there was doom for that young man. And there Satan sat with a smirk on his face, very smug and sure of himself that he was winning the match. And on the other side of that chessboard was a young man, dejected and very down, knowing that he was about to lose his soul because he was playing a game of chess against Satan for his soul. And as this man, Paul Morphy, began to study the painting, he looked at it before dinner for a while, and then there was time to eat. And so they all sat down and they ate their dinner. And he got back up, and his interest was so piqued at this painting, he walked back to it and he stood there for quite a while looking at the painting, studying the board. And all of a sudden, as he's looking at that board, he turned and he exclaimed, "It's not over." And everybody kind of looked. He said, "No, no, it's not over. It's not over. The king can still move." And that's what I want to preach this morning. The king can still move. Oh, hallelujah. But what you don't understand is that's not the end of the story. The Reverend Harrison looked at him and quickly exclaimed to him, oh, Paul, that I don't care what you say about that, but that game is so far gone. There's no way that even you can take that game and turn it around and win. And Paul Morphy looked at him and quickly retorted back, "How about, do you have a chessboard?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "That's fine. We're going to put the pieces together, and I will play the side of the man that's losing." And so they quickly put the pieces in order. And in a very short while all the other dinner guests intrigued look on, him and the Reverend would play that game, and that man, Paul Morphy, would come out the winner. And so the rest of the guests, they would all sit down one by one, and they all played him in that game, resetting the board each time. And each time, he would come out the winner. Because why? Because the King can still move. I'm telling you, there are moments in life where it may look like you're in a checkmate, my friend. It may look like you're down and out and you have nowhere else to go. But God said, you just move out of the way. Let me sit down in the spot. Let me be the one that's the professional. Take over. And let me show you that I can still move. I can still do what you cannot do. The King can still move. I said the King can still move. Don't tell me whenever it looks like everything's over that there's not a move left. God has never gotten to a place where he still doesn't have a move left. He's never put himself in a place where he can't still come out the top one. And he can still come out the winner. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's somebody here today that you need to look Satan in the face and say, you can wipe the smug look off. You can take the smirk away because I have one who's still the winner. I still have one who has a move left. Hallelujah. I've done a lot of research on this. And as you would know, there have been many messages preached. As I was looking for, I had run across this article a while back, and so I started looking for the painting itself, and then I began to look for the story. And there's other stories in there, but this one is actually chronicled in the Columbia Chess Club Chronicles, written back in the 1800s, and there was several pages of things going on there. Back in 1888, there was a rebuttal to the fact of whether this really happened or not. And the Reverend Harrison, who was anonymous at the time, eventually came out and wrote a four-page letter to tell somebody, no, no, this really did happen. And he set the record straight, even the dates of whenever it was all there. And so there would be some who would like to take it away, but there's a lot of people who've tried to take this and preach the message that there's just one more move left. No, 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 you don't understand. God doesn't have just one more move. He's got as many moves as he needs to win the game. I said he's got as many moves as he needs to win. He doesn't have himself backed such in a corner that it's only one more move left. He's got whatever he needs to win the game. I don't know whose faith I'm building in this place tonight, this morning. I don't know who's dealing with something. I don't know what you faced in life this week. I don't know what you faced in life this last month. I don't know what you've dealt with this last year. But the King can still move. The King can still, he's in this house this morning. He still has a move left in your life. He still has the winning hand. Hallelujah. Just as it looked like it was checkmate in the painting, the devil is trying to paint a picture in your life and deceive you that it's checkmate in your life. Oh, listen to this preacher this morning. I know I'm walking in the Holy Ghost. I prayed for almost 2 hours in this building last night, rolled on the floor. I don't know who I was praying for, but I had a burden. Brother Logan, you know, I had a burden for somebody in this place this morning. I rolled around here for 2 hours talking to God, weeping, because there's somebody here that needs to hear what I say. The King can still move in your life. There's still, the winner is still there. The devil doesn't have it. You may be looking at the shambles of your life and the decisions that you've made and the things that you've done, and God's just saying, step aside. Let me win. You see, Satan is the master of deceit and the master of disguise. And he wants you to believe that it's over this morning. Because if you can get to the place where you believe that it's over, he knows that he's got you. If you can believe there's no more hope, he knows he's got the winning hand. But he realizes, on the other hand, that if you will realize that the king can still move. Woo! Hallelujah. That he can still move. Then he knows he's lost. Because in the game of chess, as long as the king can still move, the game ain't over. I said, as long as the king can still move, the game ain't over. And we know that the king can still move. He's the king. That's why I read Revelation 19. Because he is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. Ooh, Jesus. Somebody catch it this morning. It's not over. Hallelujah. It's not over. It's not over. Hallelujah. In John chapter number 8, verse number 44, Jesus is talking. And he is actually kind of giving a rebuttal back to the Sadducees and Pharisees. I don't necessarily want to focus in on that, but really where I want to focus in on is a later portion of that chapter where he would say that he was a murderer from the beginning. Who is he talking about? He was talking about the devil. And abode not in truth. Because there is no truth in him. Listen to what I just said. There is no truth in him. In who? In the devil. There's no truth in him. When he speaketh of his own. What he's saying is he's only talking about himself. For he is a liar and the father of it. Oh my God. How often we all too much forget the fact that every time we hear from Satan, it's nothing but a lie. And all too often, we're so quick to believe the lie. Oh, I pray somebody's listening to me this morning. Satan is a liar. The Bible just tells us right there that he is the father of the lies. Anytime that Satan comes to you, you got to realize and understand that he's talking lies to you. The Bible said that there is no truth in him. Therefore, anytime he says anything, it's a lie. So why do we listen to them? And why to believe them? Because he is the master of them. He knows how to deceive. If he didn't, we wouldn't be here. We would still be in the garden. And now he's been working on it for many, many years. You got to understand, he lied to himself enough to believe that he could become God. That's why he's no longer a part of heaven. Well, and now he's been lying to humanity for 6,000 years. And he's had a lot of time to master his craft, if I can say it that way. The deceitfulness that he plays. And he's been trying to paint a picture in your life that you're losing. He's been trying to paint a picture in your life that you're in checkmate. That you ain't got no more moves left. That you're going to lose the battle and your soul is done lost. I know why I'm preaching what I'm preaching this morning. Somebody's got to realize that their soul is not in the hands of Satan this morning, but that God still has a move. He's still the king. He's still got a place in your life, but you've got to move aside and let him take over. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. The king can still move. You see, the devil thought he had won back in the Garden of Eden and has lied to himself and all of humanity ever since. As I just stated, he was lying to himself even before the garden. The devil has tried to back somebody here up into a corner and make you believe that nothing else can be done. And I have two words for that. But God. Woo. I said, but God. And my wife told me, and I already had this put together at ladies' conference, Sister Tiller talked about but God. I've preached a message titled, But God. And I didn't realize this, but something she brought to me that came to my sense whenever I was already done putting everything together. I said, oh, that's going to preach tomorrow. That's going to preach tomorrow. Because this is the deal. When you go through the Word of God, if you look at those moments where it says, but God, it was in situations where it looked like all hope was lost. Every time you go to the Word of God and you see those two words together right in a row, it was moments where it looked like everything was done. There was no hope. Nothing else could be done in that situation. But what they didn't understand was there was a but God moment where he would step in and he would say, just let me have the game because I'm still the winner. I'm still the winner. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel my help here this morning. Because God has the final say. God, again, has never been in checkmate, and he never will be in checkmate because he's never lost a battle. I said he's never lost a battle. Hallelujah. The devil thought he had Israel in Egypt, but the king can still move. He thought he had Daniel when he was in the lion's den, but the king can still move. He thought he had the three Hebrew boys when they were thrown into the fire, but the king said, oh, no, I still got to move. And he came in and he rescued them out of the fire. You might be in the fire of tribulation right now. In your life, it may look like there's nothing else that you can do. Listen to this middle-aged preacher today. The king can still move. I said the king can still move. Hallelujah. The devil thought he had Paul when he had stoned Stephen to death and murdered him. Oh, I know the plans God had for him. It's all but over now. And God said, I still gotta move. And he would rock Paul's world and knock him off of a donkey on his way to Damascus and tell him, look, Paul, I've got something for you. I've got you to do a work for me. You've got three missionary journeys you got to do. You got to preach the gospel to the world. You're going to have to write at least most of the New Testament, almost half if you look at Hebrews. And he says, I've got you to do this, Paul. I've still got to move. Satan, you thought you had him, but I still had to move. And I don't know what you're facing this morning, but God can still move. Hallelujah. You see, because all Satan had was nothing but a bunch of lies. Oh my God. He didn't have anything but a bunch of lies. And this morning, if you can get it in your head that everything that you've been told was just a bunch of lies. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost walking the aisles of this place this morning. Please increase your faith. Allow God to talk to you. I'm just a vessel this morning, but I pray I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, Satan, oh, I can picture this in my mind. When you go to the Gospels, and every one of them write a little differently, but every one of them write about the end of Jesus Christ. And I can imagine in my mind, as Jesus hanging there, mutilated and beaten and broken. Although I will say not one of his bones was broken, the Bible says. His flesh was broken for you and I. But his body, as far as the bone structure, stayed solid. And there's a spiritual connotation that I don't have time to get into on that. Part of that being the church is the bone structure, and it will never be broken. That being said, I've got to move on. But I could spend a whole message there. But Jesus' outside, outward body was broken and bruised, face torn, what he had of a beard ripped off, a crown of thorns crushed into his skull, his hands and feet nailed to a rugged tree. And there he would sit with his, or hang with his arms stretched wide open between heaven and earth. And there he would hang for a while. And then the Satan, he'd be there listening, waiting, wanting to hear those final words. Because in his mind, when I hear them words, I've won, I've won, I've won. And Jesus, as he hung there, would speak those final words, "It is finished." And in Satan's mind, I done it. I destroyed the one that could do anything to save the world. I've done it. I've finally done it. I've messed up the whole plan. And God, I could hear in my mind the battle that would go on in hell as him and the devil fought over the keys of hell and death and the grave. And Jesus would step into that place of we call hell, that home of Satan at this point in time, and it will be for the rest of eternity. And Jesus stepping into that place, the devil, if you would, having a party, believing that he won. Jesus step in. The power of God. You know, I believe it was at that one point, Brother Penland. In my opinion, I don't have anything in the Word of God that can back me up. But from the moment that Satan was cast out of heaven, he never felt the presence of God again. But I believe at that moment, he felt the presence of God one more time. And it was at that moment, though, he was scared out of his boots, if he had any boots. Because he realized at that point, he really hadn't won. Because the king can still move. Oh, I know, I've got a wild imagination. I sit there and I read and I pray, and And there's things that come to me in the Word of God, and I'm like, man, I don't know if that happened, but boy, it would be interesting to see. And so he would be there, and Jesus would step into the place that we would call hell, and him and devil would have a battle, and before it's over, he would take from the devil the keys of hell and the grave and death and say, no, you didn't win. I still won. And from there, the stone would be rolled away, and on the third day, he would walk out of the grave victorious and say, Mary! And she would say, Rabboni! Which is to say, Master, don't touch me. But I wanted you to know that I won. The devil didn't have a thing. I won because I can still move. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Brother Brian, there was a put in my shokotayadabaha. I feel like walking this place this morning. Brother Brian, the devil thought he had you. He said that you were going to kill yourself. But God said, no, I still got a move left. I still got something for you to do. I still got souls for you to save. I still got a move left. No. I pray something breaks open in this house this morning. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. If you've been needing deliverance, I'm telling you, it's here this morning. If you've been needing healing, it's here this morning. Hallelujah. Oh. Run over a troop and leap over a wall. And David, I feel like I could run through the wall right now. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the devil ain't got nothing. He's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. I'm telling you, he ain't got nothing. The only thing he's got is what you allow him to have in your life. I said, he ain't got nothing but what you allow him to have control over in your life. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is moving here. Can we just take a moment and worship the King? Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I want somebody to believe. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe what God, the devil is trying to tell you. You've got to believe that Jesus is still King. You got to believe that he's still got something in your life. You've got to believe that he can still do a work in your life. Hallelujah. The devil been telling you, you can't make it, that you aren't good enough, that you can't do enough. I'm telling you, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Isaiah chapter number 40. I was just sharing this with Brother Jonathan this morning. And we like to focus in on the last verse of chapter number 40 of Isaiah, where he says that, but they that wait upon the Lord. But I want to back up just a couple of verses here and say, in verse 29 of that chapter, he giveth power to the faint. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. I said, he giveth power to the faint. You may feel like you're weary. You may now feel like you can't take another step. You may feel like you can't move forward in your walk with God.
But what you need to get into is a hot prayer meeting where the Spirit of God is moving and ministering. And I'm telling you, it's going to change everything. Because why? Because he giveth power to the faint. And if you're faint, get in the prayer room and let the power of God saturate you one more time. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. When you look at that word increaseth, it means to multiply. Woo! What you don't realize is the devil, he does only addition and subtraction. God works in exponents. Well, if you don't know much about math, let me put it to you this way. He works in the power of. It ain't just multiplication, brother. It's to the second and third and however many power. And what that means is to multiply, to multiply. So when you look at God, he give you power upon power. Woo, he'll increase your strength. Then he goes on to say, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Now, in my mind, and I haven't taken a lot of time to study this part out, but I believe he's talking more out of the physical at this point. That there comes a point that even youth have a point where they faint if they go too far. And that youth and young men shall utterly fail in the physical. But now, let's enter the spiritual dynamic of God. Verse number 31. But they that wait. Oh, Lord, I haven't seen my help yet. But I know where it's coming from. Coming from the hills. Ha. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Ha. My power's coming. I said my power's coming. Oh, devil, you thought you had me. But Jesus is here. He stepped onto the scene because he can still move. He doesn't need you to tell him he can. Oh, Satan, he doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't need the okay. He doesn't need you to say it's acceptable. He just is going to do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. Woo! The only thing that God is waiting for to move in your life a lot of times is you to say, all right, God, I'm ready. And if I could depict it this way, the young man in the painting didn't realize that old Paul Morphy was going to sit down and take the hand from him. He didn't realize he was going to kind of move him over and say, I've got the game from here, boy. But there is a God waiting in this room right now, and he's waiting for you to wait for him. He's been waiting on you to just slip aside and say, God, the seat's open. I need you to take over now because I've done a whole lot of mess, and I brought it to a point it looks like it's hopeless. But if you take over from here, God, I know that it's about to be different. I know that it's about to be different. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. 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 You might be struggling to get over whatever you done last week, to whatever you did last week, last month, last year. Oh, but can I tell you this? Jesus would look at Peter and he would tell Peter that Satan hath desired and wanting to sift you as wheat. And I'm telling somebody in this house today, And you may have been going through some trials and some tribulations that it looks like. And the devil, he's been wanting to sift you as wheat. But Jesus didn't stop there. He didn't just tell Peter bad news. He said, but Peter, you know what, Peter? You know what, Peter? I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. Church, can we pray for a minute? Church. Come on, church. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He said, I prayed for you. I've prayed for you, Peter. And there's somebody in this house today. I want you to know that this preacher yesterday was praying for you. Was praying for you. Why? Because the devil wants to sift you as wheat. But God still has a winning hand. I believe, in my personal opinion, I believe that God still prays for each and every one of us. Just as he prayed for Peter. Don't ask me how to put it all together or know how to describe it or bring it about in words or try to show you in the Word of God. But in my own way, I believe that there's still a God that's praying for each and every one. Because he realizes there is a devil that still wants to sift you as wheat. And he said that I am not willing that any should perish. I rebuke every lie in this place in the name of Jesus. There's some of you still dealing with the lies right now. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you something for a minute. Peter, the day that Jesus would be crucified, 3 times denying the Lord, go out and weep bitterly. The Apostle Paul, can you imagine the stigma that he had to carry around for his whole life of knowing how much he had persecuted the church of God? The fact that he had had Stephen stoned, and maybe he didn't throw one of the stones, but in his own way, relenting, allowing it to happen, knew that with that I did throw the stones. Maybe not in the physical, but in my own way I did. And yet, there's a powerful portion of verse that he would write in 1 Corinthians that I want to tell somebody in this house this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 11, Paul would say, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I come against the lies of the devil in this place today, letting you know through the word of God, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified. Say, preacher, what? I'm walking against every devil in hell right now. I feel the authority of Jesus Christ. And I come against everything that he would tell in this place. Why? Because this is the house of God. And these are the people of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is in this house this morning. And I'm telling you, he's walking the aisles of this house this morning. And he's wanting you to know, but you're washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. Let's all stand this morning. I want to go on, and I've got one more verse I want to say in this house this morning. The king can still move. Remember that. Because you got to realize, even though the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ had happened, there was still one thing he hadn't done yet. In Acts 1 and 8, in Luke, at the end of chapter 24, I believe it was, he would say, boys and ladies, gentlemen, you need to go to Jerusalem. Go to that room I've told you about. Tarry there until ye be endued with power from on high. And there they would stay for a certain amount of days. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he continues on and he says, but ye shall receive. What are you going to receive? Power. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew, or they shall gain strength. You realize now, forward all the way to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive strength or power. How? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon. After I've brought the same power that I told you about in John chapter 16, verse 33, that I have overcome the world. That same power I've given unto you, that you can overcome the wicked one. Woo! The king can still move. Brother Jamie, hold the music for just a minute. I want you to play that same song, but I feel this in the Holy Ghost. There's an old song that would say it like this. The devil thought he had me. Jesus came and grabbed me, and he held me close. So I wouldn't let go. God's mercy kept me. So I wouldn't let go. And Brother Jamie, the devil thought he had you. There was a moment where Pastor and I thought it was over. But I'm telling you, by the power of the Almighty God, the king can still move. I said the king can still move. Hallelujah. Sister Wanda Millsap, I know you cannot hear me right now, but you're going to hear me in a little bit. God's still moving. Why? Because the king can still move. Brother Ben, the king can still move. Sister Shirley, the king can still move. Brother Shannon, the king can still move. even if it takes a semi-truck parking across the street. I have prayed for you, for the devil wanted to sift you as wheat. For the Holy Ghost. I don't know who's here today needing this, but these altars are open. I'm telling you, the altars are open. The King can still move.
He's still proving just how great.
Oh, can we start together here?
How great He is. He's still moving.
Yes, He is.
He's still.